shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We need to stabilize and, in fact, grow our business around the globe.
Yeah, you know, all three of us spent a lot of time covering
what's going through your heart as you heard this news.
He will take the Greta Van Susteren spot at 10 o'clock.
Bring another couple home with him. That would be fun.
Why are you disrespecting me?
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 a.m. on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Everybody else is lying. Lying. Well, you know, everybody else is trying to make a living. We don't give a crap anymore. We have enough money in the bank. How about that?
Yeah, that's great.
See, we don't have to bullcrap you because we don't care whether we got a gig tomorrow, man. I'm already ready to retire. Me and Alex Jones, we went in on some of those conspiracy tapes. I made a bundle. You think I actually believe in 9/11 truth? The hell no. I'm going to do that. I'm going to start my own collection of 9/11 bullcrap tapes, and I'm going to, you know, like that guy says the Earth is 6,000 years old, and all of this stuff, and because this gentleman, and not to talk about Brandon the caller, he's a good guy, but he mentioned that cat who was on YouTube, some jackass who is pitching that the world is 6,000 years old. Okay. He's also a guy who's well known to be a 9/11 truther. He's a guy that's known to, you know, dig UFOs. Now, wait a second, you know. After a while, man, you're giving yourself away a little bit. Dr. Ken Hovind is his name. He believes in UFOs. He believes in 6,000-year-old Earth. Whichever the way the wind's blowing in the nut sectors, that's where he's selling his tapes. You know, put two and two together. You know, so the tapes and the. Now, I realize that Dr. Ken Hovind may be having himself a ball. You know, good for you, man. Go out and make a living. The people that buy this stuff, that's, man, it's kind of fun. I think I'll look at, like, loose change one more time. All right, but just keep in mind, you keep filling the pockets of guys that long ago realized that what they thought is just nothing more than flushable material, and everybody's making them rich by paying for their books and their tapes and their CDs, and they go out and they do lectures, and everybody sits there and nods their heads, and this cat goes home laughing his ass off, man. Nobody can be that... you know, suddenly interested in that many different weird things. 6,000-year-old Earth. Oh, no, wait a minute. UFOs. Wait a minute. 9/11. Wait a minute. You know, Amelia Earhart. Where's she? Man, she may be sleeping in this guy's house. Either that or a stripper he met, and he renamed her Amelia Earhart. Which, by the way, who is that chick that's working on Channel 5 locally in L.A. doing traffic with the name Amelia Earhart?
Yeah, she's great. I always follow her reports.
You know who Amelia Earhart is?
Yeah, she's on Channel 5.
Yeah, that's the lady I've seen her, too.
No, Amelia Earhart was an aviator who went missing.
Well, no, she moved to Denver.
Who?
Amelia Earhart.
I'm talking about Amelia Earhart, the real Amelia Earhart.
Yeah, she moved to Denver. She's on Channel 5. And
well, you don't even know what I'm talking about, man. I said Amelia Earhart was a female aviator who lived in the 30s, attempted to fly around the world with some other guy, and they crashed, and nobody knows where they are. And some people think they're living with aliens, and some people think they're playing cards with Elvis, and some people think, you know...
So, she didn't move to Denver.
No, she didn't move to Denver. That woman that you're talking about was doing local news... never mind. 877-876-PHIL. In Pamplona, Spain, they do an annual ritual. It's called Running with the Bulls. A man was gored to death.
Right.
The question, of course, is it a cruel thing, not for humans, but for bulls? That's what we're concerned with. The humans, they're going to run, and they're going to get gored, and that's the way it's going to be. This guy's name, Daniel Jimeno Romero, was a 27-year-old man from Madrid. He was gored to death during the annual Running of the Bulls in Pamplona. They do this every summer, you know this. And every year, people say the same thing. It's never ending. It'll never end as long as they have the Running of the Bulls, and that's the following.
Why are people so crazy that they want to go out and they want to do...
Because they want to do it.
That's nuts.
Well, I'd do it.
You what?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if I was in Pamplona, Spain, and I happen to find myself in Pamplona, Spain, and they said, the Running of the Bulls is today, Mr. Hendry, I'd say, can I do it? Oh, Mr. Hendry, well, I don't know. I'm not going to run the whole way. Maybe I'll run 50 feet and jump out of the way or something. I don't know. I'd go see it. It's insane. It's a goofy tradition. Now... we have a death, and it seems to me every year some guy either dies or gets gored. Some cat walks away with, you know, less one you-know-what. Some guy, you know, showed up with two, and he's got one. What happened to the other one? It's on the end of a bullhorn someplace. I don't know. You know, the rest of the bull was made into prime steak, and I don't know where those horns are unless there's some guy on the top of the Alps blowing one of them. with your testicle on the end of it? Maybe. Mr. Romero died after a bull's horn pierced his neck and lungs during the half-mile sprint through the cobbled streets of the northern Spanish town. He's the first man to be gored to death during the run for 14 years. Oh, okay. He's the first guy who's been gored to death in 14 years, so they've had deaths before that. He was brought down by a 1,130-pound brown beast named Cappuccino. How do they know the names of these animals? It's like a whole herd of these guys, which became disoriented and aggressive after separating from the pack of bulls.
What?
Each morning at 8 o'clock during the 8-day fiesta, six fighting bulls are released to stampede through the winding streets to the bull ring. Fueled by alcohol during what has become one of Europe's biggest street parties, participants test their bravado and sprint alongside the bulls while attempting to dodge their horns. Friday's run, the fourth of this year's San Fermín Festival, was described as the bloodiest in decades and raised the death toll to 15 since record-keeping began in 1911. Some guy sitting up there, you know, with a loaf of bread and some wine, that's number two. That's, and for years, you've been here. Yeah, every year I look and I see the people go down the street. There goes another guy. Oh, there goes Eddie. He's going down the street. His ass is hooked to a bullhorn. He a friend of yours? Yep, every year, same thing. But he's not dead yet. Mr. Romero was treated at a local hospital, but surgeons weren't able to save him. He suffered mortal injuries, so there was nothing we could do to save his life, said Esther Villa, the surgeon who operated on him. He lost a great deal of blood. Pamplona's mayor, Yolando Barcina, expressed her devastation at the death. In 11 years of mayoress, nothing like this has ever happened. Well, what the hell? Are you crazy or something? Don't start telling me that. I mean, you got a running of the horn to the Royal American, and you're telling me you're shocked? If I was the mayor of the town, I'd be sitting there with a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine and a senorita on my lap, and I'd say, everybody enjoying the bono. Well, Mayor Hendry, well, it happens. That's what I'd say. What else are you going to say? Sound like a phony baloney? We're devastated by this, really. Oh, God. Yeah, so grown men running through the street with bulls, and you, it's just I couldn't even imagine in my wildest dream. The other question, though, the bigger question is this. Are people getting their kicks with these animals, see? See, now, in the great city of Boston, they got a zoo. And in the zoo are orangutans and all kinds of animals, you know. Now, they haven't got enough money to keep the zoo going, so they have suggested that the animals be euthanized, which is another way of saying killed, right? Now, I don't believe that animals, if they're killed, I don't believe it's murder. I don't think we're going to burn in hell. I don't think there's an animal heaven. I don't think that, you know, I don't think any of that stuff. I just believe in the basic, based upon human emotion and experience, I believe in the basic humanitarian sense that we all have. So we've got this zoo, which, as far as I'm concerned, you guys know the show, I think all zoos, you could burn all of them to the ground tomorrow. I wouldn't shed one tear. I think they're the most worthless institutions the world has ever known. I think they're a monument to the ego of man so that he can collect all these animals, stick them in cages, and then come up with this bullcrap excuse. Well, we're helping animals not become extinct. My ass, you're helping animals not become... Every damn animal in the world is at risk of becoming extinct. Is that what you're telling me? And you're really concerned about that, so you got a string of zoos all over the country. They're not regulated by any central authority. There's no real law that every zoo has to adhere to in terms of how these animals are contained. One city does it one way, another city does it another way, and if we run out of money, we'll euthanize them. Zoos are the most worthless thing man's ever known. Now, I get it about domesticated animals. We have a series of domesticated animals that we've had for years. We work with these animals. They know us. We know them. A domesticated animal is an animal that was bred to live with people. It's DNA. Literally, the DNA of a domesticated animal is programmed in such a way that they recognize the human form. They recognize the human smell, even at birth. But zoos don't house domesticated animals. They have wild animals. And wild animals belong in the wild. You know? Bulls? Yeah, I can understand bullfighting is cruel. My concern, before we get to the bulls, and before we get to the cats and the damn dogs and all these other creatures, my concern are the animals that are in these zoos that do not belong in these zoos, never belonged in a zoo. They belong in the wild, and we've got them there so that mom and dad and the little, you know, little junior can go and throw peanuts and have themselves a marvelous day looking at the chimps. And I think it's the worst possible example of a man's humanitarian instinct. It's a glorified, it's a concentration camp for animals. And these guys that go on the late shows, like this Hannah, I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's got a chimpanzee one day, and he's got another thing. One of these days, he's going to get a chimp on that show, and the chimp's going to go right for his genitals. And then he's going to be walking off with his knees pushed together going, well, looks like another career for me. And the next thing you know, he's, I don't know what he's going to be doing, driving a cab.
Yeah, I'm driving a cab, only one of them reclining rickshaw type.
Why?
Well, because the chimp would have took his foot off.
So, Boston, here's a good idea for you, man. Close the close the GD zoo down. Take the animals and farm them out to other zoos that can handle it, and eventually let's take all of these zoos and just be done with them. I realize the animals that are there now, I guess they're ruined for the wild. I don't know. I can only hope that a few more tigers get loose and kill a few more people. I'm telling you, I'm very serious. I'm being very serious. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I can only hope that a few more tigers get loose and kill a few more people, because that's the only thing that's going to wake these stupid bastards up with their phony concern for the extinction of animals. We need to have zoos. I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to build the walls bigger, get the cages, you get it all just perfect, man. So everybody's going to be safe and the animals suffer, and you'll continue to do this ego trip for as long as we've got guys wearing those phony baloney safari hats, and they got on their leopard skin loincloth, and they come on the late show, and they've got whatever the hell they've got, you know, some weasel that, you know, squirts on your head or something. All right, we'll be back.
Boy, you don't like zoos, do you?
You getting the idea? No, I don't, man. And the whole reason why I brought the damn thing up is that Bob and this Pamplona running to the bulls. I don't give a crap. As far as I'm concerned, man, kill the people that are running with them. Eat the steak. I'm talking about the damn zoos, man. The zoo.
Miss Annie, it's going to be okay, Miss Annie. Just remember, there's always a silver lining on the cloud, you know? I'm a magic Negro.
Get out of here with a magic Negro. We'll be back on a world famous Phil Henry show.
He's kidding.
You're
about
listening
that.
To the world famous Phil Henry show.
Every night we got live video of the show. We're on live video right now, and you can download our show at our website. If you missed the show, download it. You can listen to the show on a number of affiliates across the country. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get some more information there. And also we're going to be increasing the size of our archives immensely as we go along. You can follow at Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. We're going to take some phone calls here, and I have Jody in Topeka, Kansas. Jody, what's on your mind?
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I really like your show. You know, I just
thank you.
Found you in the last couple of weeks. So I did want to make a comment. I think on the 6,000-year thing, I think that guy that called in, Brandon, I think his name is a little messed up. As far as scientists that who are Christians, they agree that humankind is about 6,000 years old, but the Earth is probably far more older than that. But
well, what do you mean? What do you mean, humankind? Humankind, as in modern Homo sapien, or
correct? Yeah.
What?
As far as people, yeah.
So they believe. I just want to be clear. They believe that the carbon dating of, for instance, 11,000 years here in North America, crossing the Bering Strait, 12,000 years, 13,000 years ago, all of that is wrong?
Well, no, I'm just talking about as far as what we know as modern man can be traced about 6,000 years. You know, as far as how old the Earth that could.
Well, what we call modern man is what we call modern man is the human, but the human being, the hunter gatherer. You know, and I'm just going to say this. I know that you probably don't agree. Evolved from Cro-Magnon, from an earlier species. But you're saying the Homo sapiens, 6,000 years old. Is that what you?
Well, see, that's one of the things. You know, why I was calling was, you know, that is based on the theory of evolution. And one of the problems I have right now with the scientific community is, You know, basic science 101 in high school was there's a difference between a theory and a law. You know, we know the law of gravity, we know the law of inertia, but yet you can turn on, you know, Discovery Channel, National Geographic, any science-based show right now, and they are teaching the theory of evolution as if it is proven law. And you made the comment.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's talk about the preponderance of evidence as opposed to the evidence for creationism. You know, what science has been applied to the theory of creation?
Well, I mean, look at several of the several biblical documents, you know, or stories.
No, can't do that. You can't do that. Well, what science has been applied? Come on, Jody. Jody, you know what I'm asking you. You sound like that you may have a background in science. What science has been applied to come up with the creationist theory?
Well, I mean, the whole thing of carbon dating, that one thing he did say correct, you know, your caller Brandon was correct, that carbon dating has been misconstrued. It has been found in certain cases that,
right,
we say it's this old, but yet it's really not
right.
That old.
But you also know that carbon dating is getting better. They're improving it. But what you're not telling me here is the following. You're telling me why evolution has holes in it, the theory of evolution. But you're using that to therefore say creationism is valid and that's what happened. And I'm asking you what science has been applied to that theory, because it's equally a theory if we go by what you're saying. And I'm saying to you that evolution at least has had some science applied. I don't see the science in creationism.
Well, you know, and unfortunately, I think for creationists, I believe in creationism, but I have to, you know, agree with you. I believe there does need to be more science applied.
Right. It's not enough to say the theory of evolution is wrong, therefore creationism is right. That's not enough. You can say evolution is wrong. So therefore,
the problem is that the scientific community has,
how do I teach
religion in itself embraced the theory of evolution as their.
I don't know that that's true. Look at Jody. There's enough guys. Hold on for a minute, man. Now, come on. Okay. There's enough people who believe in creationism, and I'm sure there's enough scientists out there that would be willing to go out and investigate. If you want this taught in the schools, you've got to start by saying, here's the science that goes into the theory of creationism. Here's the science that goes into evolution. Here's the science that goes into creation. There is none. What do I put into a textbook to tell kids about creationism? What science, what doctors at reputable institutions have applied, as we said, the empirical theory to creationism? There isn't any. And you're saying it's because it's been choked out somehow. I'm telling you that this is not something you need to necessarily have to, you know, have a join a society to investigate. There's all kinds of scientists that are curious, and there are enough people who've been talking about creationism down through the years who I'm sure would be happy to go out and test this theory. But it hasn't happened. Just hasn't happened.
I think, unfortunately, you're right. I mean, I will concur on that you are right.
Why do you suppose
that is?
Why do you
suppose? Well,
you know, we got to, you know, are you telling me that now we got to fall back on some conspiracy theory that they're being choked out of the process because, you know, science doesn't.
Well, no, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory, but I think you'd have to agree that we are putting information, if you want to get into the school subject, we are putting incomplete information in front of students. If schools are supposed to be just...
Well, information... Yeah, theories do have holes in them, and you continue to look to see if you can fill those holes, and I thank you very much for your call. And in the meantime, if there's another theory that's credible, by all means, let's talk about it. Here is Scott in Tallahassee. Scott, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
How are you doing, man?
A theory in science is different from, say, like a theory of JFK's assassination. It's the highest form of proof that you could possibly have. Without that, you'd have to enter into the realm of mathematics. And I just mm-hmm. want to say that the doctor, the so-called creationist Dr. Kent Hovind that you're talking about, he's currently serving time in prison right now. for tax evasion, and he doesn't even have a real PhD. He got it.
What
from,
is he?
Pardon me.
What does he claim he has it in?
He says he has it in education, but it's from a non it's from a non accredited university.
Okay, and he's in jail for tax evasion. I appreciate that very much. I'm not saying that I'm not going to judge the guy based on that. That's tax evasion. Hell, if I could get away with it, but... All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, coming back.
Phil Henry.
Joe Jackson says there's foul play in his son's death. One of these days, we won't have to worry about, and I don't know when it's going to be, we won't have to worry about religion and science always button heads, you know, always. It never ends. It never ends. You can look at the history of science and religion, and it's never been a comfortable relationship. And generally, it's involved some guy who was a scientist getting his head chopped off by some guy wearing a pointed hat. So, yeah, I mean, really, like violent things have happened when science and religion have come up against each other. And so now here we go again, and everything's good, man. I'm a Catholic, and the Catholic Church changed the teachings. I don't know how they do this, but they did, to say that evolution exists. You know, it makes sense to me. I'm not willing to get into a huge thing about it. The thing that does piss me off, and it really pisses me off, is that when guys say they're teaching evolution, they should teach creationism. That's great. Where are your textbooks? Where's the science? How are you going to teach this? Where are the doctors? Where's the research? That's what I want to see. Don't tell me you want to teach something. What is the state that they're doing it in right now?
I think it's either Kansas or it's Manitoba. One and two.
Manitoba, you jackball. That's Canada. Manitoba's Canada.
Yeah.
That ain't no state.
Oh.
I don't know what they're doing in Manitoba, but you want to put creation into the school? Give me a damn textbook and show me the science and show me how you arrived at it. Show me how you arrived at it. You don't sneak this garbage in there just because it's fair to have created. That just bothers the hell out of me. Who are these people running these school boards who say, all right, we'll put that textbook in the curriculum. All right, now what is this? It's a creationism textbook. Okay, that's fine. Now, is there science in this thing? Well, you know, it's the other point of view. So in other words, what they've done is they've taken the hard work of scientists who have set about to disprove evolution and arrived at their theory that it may exist, and they're going to use that to write their own stupid little book? No, man. What do you think? I fell off a freaking wagon yesterday? Give me something that's got a little bit of substance. We got more TV guide science going on around here. Well, I got it off the History Channel, and I think some Discovery, and I think Dr. Stone.
You farted.
No, I didn't. I went...
No, you farted.
Hey, bud, you want to get belted right now? Okay, we're very close to the end of the show.
Back off, man. Back the hell off.
Well, then you farted.
I didn't fart anything. Get him out of here. 877-876-PHIL. Florida is a state that's going to do that. Florida. As if you guys don't have enough problems in Florida. You got some guy, they find a guy, and every day I read something about Florida, it ain't good news, I'll tell you that. All right, let's go over here to, I believe I've got... Jim in Stanfield, Arizona. Jim, how are you? What's on your mind?
Good, Phil. I'm doing great. I listen to you every night. You're my
Thank
main
you.
Entertainment when I'm out here on the hayfields all night.
Hayfield? What are you doing, picking mushrooms off of cow turds? Really?
No.
All right. Okay.
I run a rake crew. Anyway, I called a couple of things real quick. First off, I root for the Bulls. You know, when they show that extreme video ad on TV, always love it when the bull comes up behind that guy and knocks him up in the air from behind.
Yeah. What is that? I do the same thing. What is that? I do exactly the same thing.
It's a wonderful thing. I always root for the bulls.
Yeah. I root for the bull when I see that bullfighting. You know, I root for the bull, but I know it's the bull's never going to get out of there alive, you know.
Well,
so I hope the bull gets a good gore in. You know, maybe he can kill a toreador or two before they finally take him out, you know.
I love it. They showed that one. They showed that one of those on one of those extreme videos where it actually ripped the pants off the guy and he's running.
With his ass hanging out. No kidding?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's a riot. Oh, I got to see that.
Okay.
The Toreador running out with that Mickey Mouse hat that they wear and his ass hanging in the breeze. That's hysterical. All right.
The only thing about the zoos that I've ever seen that was any way valid was down here in Arizona, they brought some Arabian oryxes over, and they actually were able to repopulate the oryxes back over into Arabia after a number of years. You know, and they worked.
What's an oryx? What's an oryx?
It's like a small deer almost.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, somewhere between a deer and a goat.
Well, why not then that we identify these animals and we put them into these areas where perhaps you can have the public come in? I don't know that it's necessary, and we try to nurture the species back to health. But I don't see that. Do you see that?
That's what they did. But that's one of the few times I've seen where it actually makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I gotta get running, man. I appreciate very much your call, though,
There is some science behind the creationist thing, but I'm not saying it's necessarily valid, but they did something around the Grand Canyon where they found crystals, and they're trying to say the way the crystals broke up, they're trying to say that that's their science behind it. I'll send you an email about it.
All right, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to Brandon. We got another Brandon tonight, San Diego. Brandon, how are you? What you got on your mind?
How you doing, Phil?
Good, thanks.
So the guy who just called, he said evolution is a theory. This is because the scientific method goes from observation, then experiment, then hypothesis, then theory, then law. And the difference between theory and law is that a theory is subjected to scrutiny for a certain amount of time.
What are you talking about?
Never mind. Yeah, yeah. Law has not been arrived at with evolution, has it? I've never heard the law of evolution.
So it hasn't been around long enough to become a law, but there are, I mean, creationism refute that at all.
Yeah, well, creationism, like I said, I hear them putting their theory forward based upon sort of as a reaction to evolution. Thanks for your call, man. 877-876-PHIL. And we got... I just talked to Brandon. Who do we got? Let's go. Come on. Who are we going to here? Nobody? All right. I tell you what we're going to do is get into another story here. We got Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy hanging on the line here, and they are out at the Ruby's tonight there in Charleston, West Virginia. Guy and Kurt, how are you?
Phil, very good. Kurt is over. Here comes Kurt.
State Senators from West Virginia.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Very, very good. Now, I want to ask you, Kurt, the bill that you introduced this week there in the West Virginia State Legislature, give me a thumbnail of this.
Well, Phil, this dovetail very nicely what you're talking about. Bill that we're introducing is technically a West Virginia State House Bill 23. And that is the FLEX combined evolution and creationist theory teaching bill. And I know that Guy had worked very closely with a very dear friend of ours, a colleague. We're talking about Eyeball Johnson, right?
Yeah, we call him Eyeball Johnson. Good man.
What's his name?
Eyeball Johnson. We call Eyeball Johnson. His name is Bill Johnson. We call him Eyeball.
Now, Eyeball and...
Eyeball Johnson.
Yeah, that's right. Eyeball Johnson.
Now, Eyeball and Guy have come up with this bill. Now, it is a combined creationist and evolution bill. We feel very strong. We got some support for this. And, Guy, why don't you give them a background on this?
Well, I feel they're basically on a bill. We teach a combined theory of creation and evolution that Adam and Eve were, in fact, some primate, chimpanzee, however you want to put it, and that they were cast out of Garden of Eden. Now, this would explain a diaper on a chimp, you know.
Phil, you understand what I'm saying?
No, wait, if I've got you guys, if I'm hearing you gentlemen correctly, this bill that you're authoring, will this introduce a combined teaching of creationism and evolution in West Virginia schools?
That is exactly correct.
Yeah, bingo, right there, yeah.
Exactly correct, yeah.
And this bill is going to teach that Adam and Eve were primates?
That's my understanding. Now, Eyeball and Cornbread, you understand we have all the nicknames and everything. Cornbread Tillotson, and his real name is Ben Tillotson, or Benjamin Tillotson. Cornbread and...
No, wait, you got... Who are these guys, Eyeball and Cornbread?
Now, these two state senator, Phil. I'm sorry, we use a nickname for him here in West Virginia. Big on nickname. I've known Cornbread Tillotson since he was, the knee-high, probably to a midget's pair of pants. And,
and I know them too.
All right, are these two guys the co-authors?
Now, the co-author, Eyeball Johnson. Now, Cornbread Tillotson helped us out on research on a bill.
And there was quite a bit of research. So what we said now, you're going to teach this in school? Good for you. You want to teach evolution? Hey, give the man a cigar. You want to teach creationism? Bingo's the bell. Give him a big panda bear. Everybody happy.
And add the theory that Adam and Eve were chimpanzees. You see.
You're going to... All right, you guys are not scientists, I understand that, but you're going to teach that Adam and Eve were chimpanzees. Now, you know that that's not new.
No, I know it's not new.
No, that's not new, but what is new is the idea that you can, theoretically at least, point to some proof. Now, you have seen monkey on a... you've seen a monkey on a honey yellow grapevine, right? You've seen a monkey in a diaper.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Now, that... is a representation, it's an iconic, you see, of how we were after Garden of Eden, because maybe we were running out of diaper. You see what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. You're saying that because we've seen monkeys in diapers, that's some kind of an iconic representation of how it used to be?
Yeah, well, what we're saying, Phil, and Ben, again, you got to talk to Cornbread Tillotson, because he did the research on this, that a monkey in a diaper, just like a canary in a coal mine, is an indication that we're real thin on air, man. I can't breathe in here, you know.
Yeah, it's getting real thin. And so with a monkey in a diaper...
Wait a minute, guys. You're not making any sense.
Let me do it here, guys. Go get a double gobble.
You got the double gobble now, Phil. I got to run.
This double gobble to you guys, is that dessert?
It's a cobbler served by a woman, a young fetching gal. Generally got a very big chest. We call it double gobble. That's... Here it is, Phil, and I know it's sounding about as confusing, you know, as a summer day with a bunch of gnats hitting the windshield, you know, and you couldn't try to find some boy with a sponge to wipe it down, and you can't even find a boy to wipe you down. But what we're saying here...
I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, it's just a sub. But what we're saying here is I kept saying myself, how come I see a monkey in a diaper, you know? It's a part of the culture, and...
Here's the double gobble.
Oh, thank you. Look at that, huh? Look at it. Isn't that pretty? I got some. Got me some vanilla ice cream.
Good. Thank you.
No, not for you.
Nah, I know, but can we get wrapped up here? Because I got to get going.
Oh, okay. In the culture at large, we have the image we go to sleep at night. Sometime you see a monkey in a diaper. It's all very, very common. Every man, every woman, every child recognize a monkey in a diaper just as well as you recognize a canine chasing a hound, or a hound chasing a bull. Rocking you to sleep on his horn, you know?
Yeah.
So now...
Because you're saying that the image of a monkey in a diaper is very common, therefore it must have its roots in some reality.
That is exactly correct. You take that, and that was, again, that was Cornbread Tillotson.
No, that was Eyeball.
I'm sorry, Eyeball Johnson done. I forget it was Cornbread or Eyeball did that. I forget.
Well, Cornbread...
was Eyebread and Cornball.
No, not Cornball. Cornball... Cornball was an intern we had, Phil.
Would you guys just stick to the point, please?
All right. The idea here is that the monkey in a diaper is Adam and Eve. Now, you know how many tricks a monkey on a 100-yard of grapevine can do, you know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of trick we're going to do. We walk into that Senate chamber tomorrow, which is Saturday. Ain't going to be nobody there. But we're going to practice our speeches, you know.
We go on Saturday and get a double gob and go in and practice speech.
You guys are practicing your speeches in the empty chamber.
That's right. In fact, in speech in the empty chamber, you know, you get that good sound, man, like you're yelling in a holler for your kids to come on up and eat supper. You got to wait 3 days because they got to hike up the side of the hill, you know.
Yeah. And we present this, we feel it's a good compromise.
I don't think that you guys, if I can offer an opinion...
Oh, please do.
Oh, yeah, we want to hear that.
I don't think you guys are going to push this through saying that there is good evidence that man was in the Garden of Eden as an ape because monkeys wear diapers.
You don't think I'm going to fly?
Yeah, that ain't going to get off the ground, huh?
You think that rooster got broken wings?
Yes, I think that it's... I think you're going to have a long way to go.
Well, Phil, that's why God made state senators and talk show hosts, because them that do, them that don't do, can do. No can do.
No, no. You find a mom, Phil. We'll be on a program and tell you how it goes.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for being with us, guys, okay?
Yeah, very, very much appreciate the time, Phil.
Thank you very much.
Oh, by the way, Phil, Larry King, you don't think he's a missing link, do you? I'm kidding around with you.
Oh, that is a lousy joke. Always a lousy joke teller. Just criminally bad, criminally bad.
All right, thanks very much, gentlemen. 877-876-PHIL. No way, man, no way. Monkeys in diapers, that's one thing. That doesn't point to Adam and Eve being a couple of chimps.
They didn't wear a diaper anyway. They were neutered up.
After God threw them out and they put on clothes.
So the first thing a damn ape put on was a diaper? Hell no. Hell no. Diaper, you can go and squat any place you want. Why do you wear a diaper? Might have been about a gym short.
What about them being gym shorts?
Yeah, that's right, you guys. They were gym shorts. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. The stories we didn't get to up next. And then the blessed weekend. And we're live here on our video cast at www.philhenryshow.com and across the country on your radio, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
Well, time now for the stories we couldn't get to tonight here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show as we take you on into the weekend. Man, I hope you have a beautiful one. And here is a story from Berlin. Wannabe Latin lovers can improve their technique by playing with the erogenous zones of naked mannequins at a new interactive exhibition that has now opened in Berlin. The Amora Sex Academy that opened in Berlin on Thursday welcomes visitors with the wry slogan, "Finally, an exhibition for those who always have to touch everything." More than 50 interactive displays guide visitors through the intimate areas of the male and female bodies, offering helpful tips on everything from striptease to oral sex and how to achieve a perfect orgasm. A lot of couples in here together to learn something, said Uta Barkow, the manager of the Beat Use Sex Change, which is hosting the academy. It's been very well received so far. A lot of exhibits have that aha effect on a lot of people. The show features several life-size plastic models, naked in various positions. One female mannequin lights up when touched in the right spot. The voice shrieks, "That's it!" when the visitor manages to put his finger on the elusive G-spot. In Frimley, England, a British judge sentenced a 76-year-old man to jail for calling for an ambulance more than 40 times to complain about a sore throat. Walter M., 76, of Firmley, Surrey, was given 6 months in custody this week after pleading guilty to two counts of causing a public nuisance and violating conditions of a suspended sentence for similar actions in a previous case. The Daily Telegraph said on Wednesday the sentence capped a brief but intense war of words between Emmons and ambulance dispatchers who insisted that a sore throat was not something that required transport to an emergency room. Emmons called the British emergency line, which is 999, he called it 42 times. He once called the emergency number when paramedics were already at his home, telling him they would not take him to the hospital. So he called 999 again to try to get another damn ambulance out there. In Monroe, Louisiana, police arrested a man suspected of stealing duck calls from a vehicle. Authorities said a 40-year-old man was booked Wednesday with burglary of a motor vehicle, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. There ain't nothing in there about duck calls.
Yeah, they screwed him.
Anyway, in an arrest affidavit, police said a burglary victim saw the victim near his truck. Saw the man near his truck right after it was burglarized. Officers found the suspect and discovered a crack pipe in his right shoe, shotgun shells, and two missing duck calls.
Well, what is that anyway?
It's like it sounds like a duck, you know? Like that?
Are you kidding me? What do you do on account of that?
You find ducks, man. You kill ducks. In Ivor, Virginia, Virginia's only nudist camp is doing its part to help stage the nation's largest simultaneous skinny dip this weekend. Whitetail Resort will offer free admission to newcomers to its annual open house on Saturday and Sunday. Boy, that'd be scary. The Southampton County Resort. I was at a nudist camp in Hawaii. Did I tell you about that?
Uh-uh.
Well, that was a nude beach. And actually, everybody there looked pretty good, so that was no way was I going to strip. The Southampton County Resort, I just watched from afar until the police were called. The Southampton County Resort will participate in the attempt to make the Guinness Book of World Records on Saturday at 3 p.m. with the simultaneous skinny dip. In Charleston, West Virginia, where we just heard Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy, Brenda Bailey is still on a roll. This week, the 60-year-old South Charleston woman claimed her ninth West Virginia lottery prize, $7,000 in the Gem Sevens instant game. Now, that brings her total winnings since last September to $159,000 from five instant tickets. What is it, man? Why is it elderly people and cats? Why can't a rich guy win? Just once, just a... Anyway, lottery officials said Friday that Bailey has claimed a total of $165,000 in prizes from instant and online games since 2000. 165, geez. Of course, that ain't going to pay for tap water, but it's not bad to augment the Social Security, if she has any.
Which she probably doesn't.
Right. Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Join us for our live video simulcast every night, also on demand at www.philhenryshow.com and our affiliate page.
Phil Henry.